Howdy do, buckaroos. Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. It is showtime, Monday, April 25th, 2019. I am your host, Kelly Gamont. With me today, I have Charlotte Henry. Hi, Charlotte.
Hello, hello.
And also with me today, the screen has gone completely black, and when the lights come up on the stage, we have John Martellaro. Hi, John.
Hey. Good morning.
So, we're going to... In what will come as a surprise to approximately no one, we are going to talk about today's Apple Media event called It's Showtime.
And that was an event.
It certainly was. There were loads of people in from out of town, not just the standard nerd brigade that we normally get there, but there were loads of other people. We saw a lot of interesting folks in the crowd. We saw some folks in the crowd that we later saw on stage. There were lots and lots of stars on stage to take over a goodly portion of the program. So let's start with that. Charlotte, what did you think of that piece of it?
So my biggest criticism of the whole event was that it went on too long. Now, I appreciate I'm an impatient millennial, but no, I totally accept that with no concentrational ability, but I thought it went on too long. It felt weird to have these superstars pitching us their show when the show's already been made. And do you know what I mean? Like, the show's been made, it's been accepted. Mm-hmm. Anyway,
well, I think the thing for me that was sort of interesting was watching them post, like watching them stand up there and pitch stuff we already knew, and then not getting any actual information. Like, this is what the show's about, but not here's how you can see it. Here's what it will cost you. None of the nuts and bolts of this stuff was anything that got announced. So, John, what do you think?
I'm not sure I subscribe to that idea. I think this was a coming out event. Other services were given holds on final pricing. Mm-hmm. I think that by attaching a price tag to the content, you immediately trigger unnecessary reactions to the product that you're trying to, the service that you're trying to promote. And there's a bigger picture here. The bigger picture is that, as it always been with Apple, is that underlying the technology, there has to be some sort of value, some set of standards, whether it's privacy or security or quality of product. Mm-hmm. And the focus on these services that were announced today was on quality, and the same kind of thing we have heard from Apple all along, and your privacy and underlying value and storytelling and bringing people together and communication and a oneness of the people on the planet and sharing values and sharing experiences through storytelling. And that's the larger global picture, which I'll write about. And to get down into details, like, you know, this is where you go, this is how you sign up, this is how much you have to pay, that comes later. That's a detail after you've sold.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, when you walk into a car dealership.
And what does the Kool-Aid taste like, John?
When you walk into a car dealership, you know, the guy doesn't come out of the box and say, well, this car is going to cost you a lot of money. You know, he sells you on the car. And then after he sells you on the car, then you write the check. And
well, when I'm on the lot, I can look at the window sticker and see the sticker price.
I'm telling a story, not connecting it to window stickers. So
I've been deeply cynical, and I think John is making a very fair point that actually this idea of values and the wider picture of what Apple was telling us this next phase of the company is, and that's clearly what today was about, is really significant and was well done. You know, these are services that all of us will want, will use. I think lots of people will want and use them. And it's clear that Apple is having quite a big strategic shift. And I think they told that story very well. I think, yeah, it just felt quite long-winded, a bit blathery to me, some of it. But
yes,
all the products they released, which we will no doubt go on to discuss, I thought were really excellent products.
Well, and for me, I think the reason that I hung up on the price is because they came out and announced this and what it costs, and that and what it's going to cost, and the other and what it's going to cost. And here's the new thing that everybody's here for, but we're not going to talk about how much it costs or how you can get it or what's going to happen. The only thing we know right now is that pricing is coming, like pricing and details, I think is how they put it, will be available in May. Let me see if I can find exactly where that was. Pricing and availability for the Apple TV Plus video subscription service will be announced later this fall. The all-new TV app, Apple TV app, is coming this fall. So, like, as part of the new version of iOS, is this going to be a significant portion of the dub announcement of the upcoming version of mobile software? Like, these are the things that I'm wondering about, because we're not hearing any, like, this is another one of those things where Apple has announced something way ahead of time, and so now I have to wonder if it's going to end up materializing or not.
Well, the reason they announced ahead of time is to get the press plenty of time to fantasize, to write, to inform, to teach us, to write stories like we wrote today, the Mac Observer, and everybody else will be writing for the next few months about all the details. And the more you dream about it and the more you hear about it, the more you're going to want it.
Oh, so, you mean like a wireless charging mat for my watch, my shiny new headphones, and my phone?
You guys were so jaded this morning. You guys were
no, I'm asking an honest question, because whenever Apple announces something and it doesn't ship within, and it does not substantiate within 30 days of the announcement, we have a problem. That's all I'm saying.
Well,
this is historical data that I'm operating on.
That, you know, and there's a couple instances. Problems with the iMac, shipping it with a hard disk and no T2 chip, the late air power, putting Touch ID on new iPads. There's a couple of things that can be listed, but I don't think that they can be uniformly and globally applied to anything that was presented this morning.
No, all I'm doing is applying historical data. Like I said, it leads me to a conclusion that when you tell me something is, when you can't give me a date, and that date is not within 30 days of whatever the event is where you hauled somebody out on stage to tell me about it, then I'm suspicious. Because anytime they do that, like, it's off in the future, it's coming. Like, we don't get, you know, we're going to get a new Mac Pro at some point. We're going to get
two, you know, it's one thing to say we're going to upgrade the CPU in a MacBook Air and ship it. It's another thing when the guest star who's starring in a series and you're in the middle of it gets the mumps and, you know, you have to reschedule everything. Right. Hollywood is all about people and rescheduling and pulling things together.
Right.
So it's a new experience for Apple to manage all of this. And so tying themselves down is a mistake.
I also think it's got to be quick, because those stars will not accept being put in an embarrassing situation.
Right. Like, I have no idea. So I have no doubt the content is available, but the service itself is the thing that Apple is announcing. Like, we know the shows are done or near done or whatever. Like,
yeah.
Those are all in various states of creation. I don't know the timeline of all of the ones that we talked about today. So I don't know how many are in the can and just waiting for the service and how many are in process. Like, I don't know. But I do know that when Apple says it'll be out next week, it's out next week. And when Apple says it'll be available to order in 2 weeks and out in the world in 3, I can bet on that. But when they say later, I can't bet on that. That's a sucker's bet. So that's all I'm trying to say, is that I'm pushing back on
doing that for years. They roll out Mac OS and iOS at WWDC and they say coming to you later this fall.
Yes, but they have an announcement of that when they give us the new hardware that runs on that runs that software. Because in the fall we get the iPhone event, and they say this is when it's out, and okay, we're going to talk to you a second about Mac, and this is when it's out.
I just think you're doing too being too.
See, here's the problem. It's Freaky Friday. Like, I'm channeling my inner John. John's channeling his inner Kelly. It's very weird.
Production. One or more of the shows that was discussed this morning may not roll out on schedule, but most of them will. So,
but what is that schedule?
Like we've talked.
Like we've talked about before, are we going to have a staggered rollout, or do you front load everything so that everyone that gets a free month gets all the good stuff now and then cancels in a month and doesn't feel bad about it? What?
This is not a RAM upgrade to your iMac, Kelly. This is television production.
I understand that.
I also remember, we don't know the price, but everything we're led to believe is that the Apple original content productions are going to be used as a kind of way to lure people into the premium tier of Apple TV.
Now, I'm only like half in that camp personally, because I think what they will do is give an episode or two away. And if you like the show and want to watch the whole thing, that will cost you. I think there'll be a freebie here and a freebie there on each of these series. Like, watch the premiere, and then if you or the first two episodes, and if you
You're hung up on price. Let me get a word in edgewise here. Let's forget about pricing. When I gaze through Netflix and I look at the synopsis, there's like a 2-sentence synopsis for every new independent production on Netflix. It's all dour. A lot of it, except for, you know, some happy, interesting sci-fi series like Travelers and Lost in Space. Some of these human element stories are depressing, you know. Jim is a sheriff in a small town, but what he doesn't know is that the town is out to get him, you know, and other synopsis like that. You read two sentences and you go, no, I don't think so. I don't, life is too short for me to waste my time getting embroiled in depression and violence.
And so here's Happy Clappy PG rated content.
I look at the Apple stuff this morning, and every one of those shows I want to watch. And that says something about the design of their content, I think.
I think that's a fair point, but I also think I was sort of being a bit sarcastic and saying it's going to be PG rated, happy clappy stuff. But that has been one of the concerns.
I think
like Netflix and Amazon Prime have done pretty damn well out of producing some edgy content, and Apple are going to have to be careful with how far on the line they stray with that. Just generally with the product, you know, that we did get a launch date and a price for Apple News Plus, which I was excited about. 300 magazines included in that, not 3,000 as Mr. Rosner originally let slip. It's 300 magazines, which is a pretty impressive roster, and it's the magazines you would want to read. It seemed to have Wired, it had The New Yorker, it had Elle, it had Men's Health, and it was a pretty serious collection, it looked like to me.
Yeah.
What's talking about that was information overload.
Sure, but I mean, information welcome over to 2019.
Small iPhone screen, and I'm going, I can't read all that. Well, but I think a month on a phone.
Part of what
deal with all that information crammed into a 5-inch display.
It's coming to Mac OS as well.
Well, that's why. Yeah, News Plus is going to be available anywhere you have Apple News, which is cool.
Yeah, I have to do that.
And part of
but the first order demo was on a phone, and then later they went to an iPad.
Right, but I think
great on an iPad.
The magic here, I think, is the curation that goes into Apple News already. I think that's part of what they're selling with this, is that you will get some amount, and we'll talk about this in a second, but we will get some amount of content from all of those places, and all you have to do is subscribe to Apple News in order to make that happen, and you can read it wherever. You know, if you're somebody like John who has an iPad in a recliner habit, for example, and sit and read on the
12.9-inch iPad and recliner,
and sit and read in the recliner, and that's his jam, and that's a really great consumption model for John. Maybe I am out and about an awful lot, and so I'm only going to be doing this on my phone, but the thing is, the curation is going to be the magic here. Now, one thing that we did hear,
don't read Vox while you're driving, but please.
No, but we will apparently have to have a voiceover article so we can talk about how you can get Apple News read to you. But I will point out that we did see during the event, there was a post about a Wall Street Journal internal memo, because we did hear that Wall Street Journal was going to be part of the Apple News service. And the way that's going to work is that it's not 100% the Wall Street Journal. You can't give up your full on fire hose of Wall Street Journal information subscription in favor of Apple News and get all the same stuff.
That doesn't surprise me. There was no way.
Me either.
We were going to be able to get the whole Wall Street Journal for $9.99 a month alongside 299 other publications.
Right.
I always kind of assumed that these major publications that Apple was wooing was going to be you know, the selection page splash, the key information. And that makes total sense for all concerned. Mm-hmm. And you can see that's why the Wall Street Journal would be interested, because it will, I think actually we said had this hinted that this might be the case on the show the other day. And
yes,
you know, it, it's a way of luring people in. Maybe they think, oh, I really love what I'm reading from the Wall Street Journal. I've never really read it before because of the subscription, but I've seen it as part of my Apple News Plus subscription, and now I want to take out an extra Wall Street Journal subscription. Maybe.
Right. And I think that's a really good plan for a lot of publications in order to boost their readership. I think that's a really good way to do it. And now that it's become a little bit more obvious that that's what the Wall Street Journal is doing, like, we thought that, but now we know. Because like I said, this was a quote from an internal Wall Street Journal memo. So if other publications would do that, I feel like it might be good for them, but maybe they're just all waiting to see how it works for the journal. So
we're looking at you, the New York Times and the Washington Post.
Mostly the Washington Post, because I already subscribe separately to the Washington Post. So that's mostly why I'm curious. Now, let me ask.
Obviously, really interesting. It's starting out in the UK and Canada. Sorry, it's starting out in the US and Canada.
Yes.
And I'm very interested to see when it comes to the UK. They kind of said fall time, didn't they?
Yeah.
I think it's coming to the UK. Maybe spring, actually. I'm looking forward to seeing, and we'll try and find out for TMO readers, which UK publications are going to be part of that. Will they get a big name publication like the Times, like the Guardian, you know, the Telegraph? It'll be very interesting to see.
Yeah, I was wondering who the other publications were going to be that would end up expanding as they moved into to other places. And then the follow-up to that is, will I have access, let's say the Guardian signs up, if I have access to the Guardian, if Charlotte has access to the Guardian in the UK, do I get that access with my News Plus subscription if I'm in the US and she's in England? So
yeah, I think probably the Guardian, because of it's a free model anyway, is probably not the best example. I'm thinking something like the Times, you know, the paper of record, you know, equivalent in stature to the Wall Street Journal or something. Yeah, that is the question, isn't it? If I get the Times in my Apple News Plus subscription here in the UK, do you get it over in the US? That'd be interesting to see.
Because I would like to know.
Not, because the Canadian, there's a specific Canadian publications, aren't there? And that was not, as I understood it, they didn't say that was available in the US, so.
Yeah.
Interested me about that, Kelly, about the 300 number? When in previous life, I have tried to read electronic magazines. I forget the name of the app that was popular a few years ago.
For magazines?
Yeah, we could
scroll. Oh, it started with a Z.
Zinio. I gave up on Zinio. And I wrote a lot about EPUB formats and Mobi formats and ebooks, you know, back in 2013, 14. And the big problem was formatting. Some magazines have trouble translating their output format intended for paper publication into, or web publication into, a format for the phone or the iPad. Mm-hmm. And so you got all these 300 players and they all had to agree on a standardized format that looks great on an iPad or an iPhone. And that must have been a major engineering effort to do that.
That was the thing I wondered about, but also what level of, let's call it the Apple experience, you're going to get from everybody. We saw the National Geographic example with the moving cover shots and all of that. And I wonder if everybody's doing that or if only some of them are doing that. So it's going to be interesting to see what shape that takes for your $10 a month. And that $10 a month will also is also a thing that you can pay using your shiny new Apple card, because Apple's credit card was announced today as well.
Oh, and smooth transition there, Kelly. I see what you did there.
It's a lot smoother when you don't point it out, John. So,
but not as funny.
That's true. So the thing about the Apple credit card that was interesting to me, I did see somebody talk about the fine print includes variable credit percentage rates, APRs. For depending on what your credit score is, your interest rate will vary a little bit. You sign up within the app It does something that they pointed out as super great, and I don't know if they said that it was new, but they're not the only ones who do, and that is categorize your spending and show you in the app like what you're spending on and how that works in relation to historical data that you have there. So they talked a little bit about that, and there is a physical card. We did see it in one of my favorite Apple event moments every time, which is the How It's Made video that always makes me so happy. And Apple, again, now that you have TV Plus, if one of those is just product videos that you just show all the time, it would make me so happy and I would gladly pay whatever it is you're going to try and charge me on my Apple credit card. So we saw the Apple credit card. It's going to work everywhere with Apple Pay. The thing that I do think is new is the daily cash back. You get a certain percentage of cash back on your card, and depending,
assuming you spend every day.
Well, right. Every day that you have activity at the end of that day, we'll call it the end of that day, you get money back.
The more you spend, the more you save.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's, I think it was 2% on like everything except for Apple Gear is 3% back. And I think that was how it broke down. And it all works within Wallet.
No, it was not just Apple Gear. It was if the transaction's online at Apple or Apple Store.
Oh, okay.
Retail stores. So if you bought a third party disk drive in the Apple Store, yeah, I assume you get the cash back.
So if you go buy that Belkin thing at the Apple Store, yeah, whatever Belkin thing it is, yeah, or one of those monitors that they want you to, one of those 5K monitors they want you to hook up to a mini, like you'd get a fat bunch of cash back at the end of the day.
Right.
So I was interested in that because I think that's a pretty compelling hook for some people to be able to get money back like that on the daily, like if you use your card on the daily. The other Apple Pay news that we got was Apple Pay Transit, which I'm very excited about because they're debuting it here in Portland.
Welcome to the 21st century, guys.
Yeah, but what you really mean is, I was going to say, what you really mean is like, welcome to 2011. Where you can bonk your phone on the thing in order to pay for transit. So we've
had this in London on the tube network and buses for a number of years now.
Right.
It's used the whole time by people.
Yeah.
Both Apple Pay and Android Pay, actually.
And there is an app that you can use in Portland on, it's called TriMet here, our bus and train system. And there is an app that you can use, and it's not great. And to call its rollout suboptimal is about the nicest thing that I can say about it. And it's a very generous description of what happened. And it's gotten better, but I think that this is going to be a very interesting way for a lot of people to get around, particularly once they roll it out. And it's more common in places where you have multiple tiers. Like one person I was talking about is I was talking to about this is Matt Geek Gab host John Braun, who was talking about like the state transit system versus the local transit system and how sometimes those are at odds with each other. And you can like buy tickets for one that will work on both, but not on the other that will work on both. And like, but they all have the same name, and it was very confusing and complicated. And maybe this is the kind of thing that it will take to make some of that better, is my hope. Apparently this means I'm going to have to go ride the bus when it rolls out. So, I will go take some bus rides and let Mac Observer know how that works because, that's what I do. So I will let you know, how that shakes out and what that rollout's going to look like. I'm going to see if I can get a hold of TriMet and get them to talk to me about it so that maybe I can put something up on Mac Observer and give y'all some insight into how that's going to work. Charlotte, what was the thing that stood out as a highlight to you in this particular event?
There was a lot to take in. That's why I'm slightly hesitating. For me, the most relevant thing and the thing I can imagine myself using, mm-hmm, is the news service. I'm a Total Magazine and news addict, obviously, and I can see myself signing up to that, particularly using it on Mac OS. So that to me, mm-hmm, when that comes to UK, will have some value to me if it's kind of £10 a month, which I suspect it will, mm-hmm, be. And I loved how they focused on design for the News Plus service. You know, they're going to have live covers. The covers are going to move and be slightly interactive. They are, you know, the thing that has never worked with magazines really in kind of or online, some have got better. Wired does it okay, but the design just doesn't come across in the same way as it does on the page. And Apple, being Apple, is clearly taking that very seriously and wants the photographs to look good, wants the covers to look good, want it to feel like a magazine experience. And I really like that.
Yeah, I think as Muggles move slightly closer to the magical world of Harry Potter with these moving magazine covers, one of the things that I thought was interesting about the news was the experience that they were showing off. And I do want to point out that, Charlotte, on your shiny new Mac Mini, Apple News Plus is going to look 18% better than it does on my 4-year-old machine. So
it's going to look so pretty.
It's going to look so good. John, how about you? What stood out to you most today?
Well, you know, what should have stood out to me most was the new Apple TV content that Apple's working on. But we've heard so much about that, and I'm so familiar with it that it really kind of didn't light me up the way the Apple credit card did. I mean, Apple searched around for a partner to totally rethink how credit cards work in the Apple way, the thing that Apple does. And the design of this credit card, how it operates, how you get your statements, how do you apply for it, the daily cash back. The app experience, the no fee experience, just the whole design of this credit card just completely reimagines how credit card works, and it makes every other credit card look dorky and old fashioned. And I think that's just a real. I don't know how other credit cards are going to compete with this. They're going to have to change their ways and come into the 21st century somehow.
Yeah,
we've kind of gotten used to the good old fashioned credit card, and it's just been that way for years and years. And it's refreshing to see how Apple has re-envisioned it.
Yeah, and we will talk about that more because we will find out more about it. Some of us will end up with one, and we'll talk more about practical application and how all of that works in future episodes. You will probably hear more about the Apple event tomorrow as more things become known. And maybe these are the people I will talk about it with. Charlotte Henry, thank you for coming by to talk to me today about news.
Thank you so much.
And John, thanks for coming by, Kool-Aid in hand, to talk to us about all of Apple's new services.
Nice to be here.
I've been your host, Kelly Gamont. This is the Mac Observer Daily Observations podcast. You can get a hold of us at TMO Daily on Twitter, or you can email observations@macobserver.com. You can also swing by iTunes and leave us a review. I will talk to all of you tomorrow. In the meantime, be excellent to each other.